Blog Talk Radio.
At Firefly Willows, LIVE, we're working hard to be your trusted source for fun, enlightening, and heart-centered information and community. And we're passionate about the art of transformative media, the new leading edge of communication in our highly connected, media-rich world. If you're passionate about facilitating change and you have gifts or ideas you'd like to share, come join us. Host a show or be a guest or connect us to an amazing speaker or teacher whose message is too good to miss. There's always room for courageous, knowledgeable changemakers, inspired artists, and new ideas. Let us know you're interested. Send an email to info@fireflywillows.com. We're Firefly Willows, LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light. Firefly Willows, LIVE presents, What's Your Prescription for Balance?
Welcome to What's Your Prescription for Balance, a show filled with inspiration, wisdom, tips on health, happiness, and growth, with some laughter and lively discussions thrown in. I'm your host, Dr. Glenna Calder, naturopathic doctor from Halifax, Nova Scotia. This evening, we're going to speak with Coralie Murphy, registered massage therapist, motivational speaker, and founder of Journey Alive, a program involving health education, lifestyle modifications, with individuals that are also going through an 8-week cleanse. Tonight we're going to talk about transitions, the importance of them, how we might resist them, and signs to look that we're moving in the right direction and going through a transition. Let me welcome Coralie Murphy. Are you there, Coralie?
I'm here, Glenna.
How's the weather there on Cape Breton Island?
Well, we're experiencing a rainy week, I have to say. We had a beautiful day today, but it looks like it's kind of sliding back into some wet weather.
The change. The fall is coming, I think, isn't it?
It is. And I think, you know, there isn't a more appropriate topic for discussion tonight than transition as we transition from summer into fall. So I think that's a great topic for discussion tonight.
Mm-hmm. I think somebody move the switch, because I know the temperature here in Halifax has changed in the last week. Even just in the last 24 hours, it's changed. There's a chill in the air.
Oh, for sure.
Well, thanks for being on the show, Coralie. I'm really excited to have this discussion with you and our viewers. And I thought I'd open up with asking you a question about transitions, wondering, in your experience in your practice and also running the program Journey Alive in the last 5 years, why do you think we might resist going through a transition or a change?
That's an excellent question, I think, to start off. And I believe that a word that's going to pop up frequently in our discussion this evening is going to be fear. And what I've noticed through my practice with my patients, in addition to the changes that my participants in the 8-week cleanse program go through, is so transformational. They resisted in the beginning. We were not sure how we feel about change. And most of that is actually fear-based. And I'd like to point out that fear carries a retracting energy, and as opposed to love, which is more expansive and spherical. So I think a lot of times fear is what motivates our resistance, the fear of making a mistake, the fear of losing control, the fear of an undetermined outcome, the fear of the unknown, things of that nature. And that really acts as a force that holds us back. Like I said, it carries a resisting energy component to it.
Excellent. I guess some ways, because of that fear, we may try to slow down or even stall change. Yeah. Do you see that often with individuals maybe going through your program, such as Journey Alive?
For sure. And I think a lot of times, too, we have a fear of losing our sense of self, because we don't recognize ourselves when we come outside of our comfort zone. And so, again, we retract into what we know.
And I know in my practice, and even with myself, I see ways that we might not even be aware that we're trying to stall a change because, for example, if there's an issue that we have, maybe in a relationship or in a job, if we bring up that issue, that may start a change, whether we realize there's differences that exist between maybe us and our boss that might be better if we part ways. Instead of starting that change, we might decide to suppress our emotions and not speak about the frustration so that no change will come. So it's safer sometimes.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that's where, as well, complacency plays plays a factor and plays a role because, you know, when we are in the confines of a relationship, we may, in some circumstances, become complacent when we're protected under the guise of a marriage, say, for example, or in a job where we have security and we just go through the routine. We sit in this role of complacency, and that's a safe place. You know, it's a safe place where we don't really have to reach that far outside of ourselves.
So if it's a safe place and it's scary to change, what's the importance and what's the value of transition?
Well, I think it is really essential to understand the role that transition plays in our life. In my opinion, it really takes us from one state of being to another. In a way, it really acts to elevate our level of consciousness. Because when you embrace change, we are moving in an upward vector. We are growing. And that really is essential to moving forward in our lives.
Excellent way to put it. I know we spoke about this before, and maybe what we could do now is go through some questions that our viewers might be able to ask themselves so that they can might be able to know if the change they're going through, is it in the right direction for them, and is it in alignment with their highest purpose? One in particular I know that you and I have talked about before was gaining or losing energy. And you had pointed out to me that there is a difference between gaining or losing physical energy versus personal power. So we might lose energy, but we might be gaining in other ways. So can you talk about the difference?
For sure. You know, personal power and, you know, is really a quest. It's a journey. It's something that usually takes time, a lot of self-reflection, and a real sense of knowing who you are. And in that pursuit of gaining personal power and understanding who you are and what factors propel you forward, it can be exhausting. You know, you can actually lose a little bit of physical energy in the pursuit of gaining personal power. And there is definitely a difference between the two. You know, being fatigued and working on yourself, that can be a draining thing. But oftentimes, like I always say to people, it's so worth the work. It's worth your energy. Because as you gain personal strength and personal power, things in your life begin to change. Relationships begin to transform. Your work situations become transformed. Your financial situation changes. So it's certainly worth the work, although it can be exhausting in the pursuit of that.
Right. That was really valuable for me because one might think, well, I must not be moving in the right direction if I'm tired and I'm fatigued. But it's sometimes it's okay to feel fatigue because you're working.
Absolutely. And change is not easy because, again, you are pushing your boundaries. You're pushing yourself past your recognized limits. So, again, the emotional fatigue that can come with that is oftentimes or can be perceived as I'm not moving in the right direction. Maybe I'm working a little too hard at this. Is this right for me? You start to second-guess yourself.
So that might tie into the second question would be, are you being honest with yourself?
I love this one. I have said from the beginning of my practice 15 years ago that the hardest thing that a human being will have to do in their lifetime is sit in the seat of honesty. Are you being honest and in alignment with your higher purpose? Are you being honest with yourself? Because oftentimes we tell ourselves little stories that fit the situation in the moment instead of really, again, working and putting in the effort to move past that to live a truer existence, one that resonates with the integrity of your soul.
And like you said, we're probably the hardest, most difficult person to be honest with is ourselves.
Absolutely. I always say to patients, you know, when I do an intake at the beginning of my session, And there's they especially for a new patient, because they will kind of sit and tell you what they think you would like to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And the body doesn't lie. As soon as they get on that table and we start the treatment, there's a whole world of issues that come out, because the body doesn't lie. We can lie to ourselves. We can play victim. We can sit in that role of complacency, but it doesn't serve our highest interest. And the body, oftentimes, if you're not in alignment with your truer and higher self, it will manifest in a physical form, like a state of dis-ease or pain or something of that nature.
Excellent. And I guess that a way to know if we're being honest with ourselves, because sometimes it's hard to tell, am I being honest with myself? I'm trying, I'm putting in the effort, I'm doing my work. But another question to ask yourself would be, am I where I'm at because of fear? And this is one of my favorite topics, because, like you said, we do things a lot out of fear. So to ask yourself, am I here because of financial, I'm scared of financial loss? Am I scared of loneliness? Or am I scared of being judged? If I make a change,
mm-hmm.
who and how many people are going to say I'm making a mistake?
Yeah, and that is such an excellent point, because, again, they all carry a retracting energy. It's a downward vector. It is, you know, not expanding your boundaries because of something external to you, instead of working with something that's in alignment with you. You know, finances, judgment, oftentimes they're everything that represents outside factors, mm-hmm. instead of really sitting down and looking at what's in your highest good.
Because decisions we make sometimes may affect other people. So it might be, or other people might also look at us and the changes we're making, and it might cause them to look inward, and it might stir some feelings up from themselves.
Absolutely.
Another question I know we've talked about in the past is, are you trying to control your situation, or maybe trying to control how others react to your situation instead of trusting in yourself?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have such a need for control, because I think we currently are living in a world and in a society where we feel sometimes like we have no control. So we mm-hmm. try to really maintain a sense of control over the things that are in our direct and immediate world.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes we make decisions out of our need to control what we can, essentially, or what we feel like we can control in our lives.
I guess another basic question that we'd ask ourselves is, are we happy? We can be scared, we can be nervous, we can be stressed, but is there inner happiness knowing that we're moving in the right direction, and that the work we're putting in will be worth it, and we'll be in a better place at the end of this change?
Absolutely. I think fundamentally it is our soul's quest to just find love and be happy. So when we are off course, that's when we start to not really feel good in our own skin, I guess you could say. That is a really important question when sitting down and understanding that you're maybe moving through a transition. Am I happy? Is this situation bringing me happiness? Or does it have the potential, if I do the work, to bring me happiness?
Excellent questions. So one question that I know you've asked me before, and I'm going to ask you, are you living a life that is less than great?
Well, I certainly hope I'm not at this point. and you know, that's a very key question. My brother used to always say this, you know, Cor, are you living any day less than great? And although sometimes we may feel like we are certainly not sitting in the seat of greatness because of personal situations, I think it's important to realize that you can still live great under the given situation. You know, are you doing your best is really what that question is saying. Are you living your best day today? Are you making the decisions that are going to propel you in an area of growth?
Because it's today. Sometimes we can get overwhelmed by looking at our whole life and the whole chapter we're living right now, but to focus in on the day, that's really all we have control of is the day. the moment.
The moment, yeah. And it's the power, really, of the moment. It's the power of now. And understanding that, you know, the things in the past that you cannot change, we worry about the things in the future that haven't happened yet, and we really forget about the moment. Like, what is your moment saying? What is speaking to you in this very moment? What's resonating with you? You know, who are the people that contribute to your life and add to your life? What situations, again, help lend power for you and fuel you up?
Okay. So I guess we both have practiced this. Maybe we can talk a little bit about signs that we've noticed, that we can tell that the people we're working with are going through a transition, they're beginning a transition, and what maybe physical health signs that we can look for to go, you know, something's changing here, and maybe I'm resisting it or fighting it. I know one that we've touched on is energy, like noticing that your energy's low and you're tired and you're wondering why am I so tired? But to recognize, like you said, that a change, whether it's a small change or a life change, a huge life change, that it's going to take some energy, some physical energy or mental or emotional energy. Do you find that in your practice, like that you, when you watch people going through life changes, whether it's moving, changing a job, or maybe it's separating from somebody or going through a change in a friendship, that energy levels, do they always change?
I absolutely believe they change. I see it every day in my practice. I see it through the program. They ebb and flow. And sometimes the change actually gives them energy. It, you know, it infuses energy because it's lively, it's full of vitality. But oftentimes as well, like we talked about earlier, you can experience low energy moments because it's requiring energy to move past the barrier and the boundary of your self-limits. So that is kind of a spectrum, and there's a polarity there where you go from, you know, lower energy, depending on the nature of the change as well. Oftentimes, if it's an exciting change and like a new job, there might be a little anxiety about the unknown, but an excitement, a sense of excitement that really infuses you and with energy. And you look at the opposites of that, you may be going through a transition in your relationship. You may be ending a relationship. And with that, of course, you know there may be happiness through this pain segment, but you have to go through the pain segment. And that pain can really, you know, take away and draw on your energy and give you the fatigue and the mental exhaustion and that spiritual low that oftentimes people will feel when the changes are temporarily at a low point.
And how important is it to, when we get those lows, like spiritual lows, like you've mentioned, not to run from them?
I think it's extremely important because oftentimes they are your greatest teaching moments. You know, retreating, again, that retraction energy, when you retreat, you're really running away from a learning opportunity. That is where you will face your greatest self. That is where you will learn the most about yourself. It's easy to function when everything is positive and good. Who are you in the bad times? What is the nature of the relationship that you have fostered with yourself? That is the truest moment of self.
Excellent. Very, very nicely put. So times when we're going through that, other feelings, I guess, might come up, such as boredom, frustration, or feeling stuck or stagnant. Have you seen that or experienced that within participants in your program?
Absolutely. For sure in the Journey Alive program, because you're going through such a dramatic physical change and tied in with food, of course, because it's so profoundly personal, there's a lot of emotional change. And that feeling of stagnation, you know, there's a huge emotional health component with that that really drains on your emotional being and and the guilt, maybe because you're trying to retreat in the face of change and knowing that I'm not really showing up here the way I want to show up. And there's a guilt attached to that instead of, you know, meeting it full on and saying, okay, I can do this and I'm going to take charge of this. I'm going to show up. Sometimes when we fall a little far away from our expectations or self-expectations, there's a guilt associated with that. And then we start to lose motivation and inspiration. And then, of course, that just, you know, spirals in this downward way that, you know, it can be quite difficult to climb back out of that.
And I guess when you said boredom and even going through something like a cleanse, I hear that often in my practice. I'm bored. I'm bored of the food. And so, you know, and it's a tough one because we're bored with the food because we were using food for comfort.
That's right.
So we can't look to certain foods anymore for comfort if we're taking a break from certain foods such as inflammatory foods to help our body. So we can't go and reach for that food that's going to numb those feelings.
That's right. And the interesting point that I always make to my participants in the program is, as far as boredom goes, we're sitting in a group of people, especially on the East Coast here, where we eat a cultured diet of meat and potatoes. And they could eat the same thing every single day for 30 years. And then all of a sudden you're giving them this plethora of choice, and they're bored. And really, it's, are you bored or are you scared? You know, or are you resisting the transition? Because, again, we will find excuses that satisfy whatever feeling we have at that moment. And I always say, you ate meat and potatoes for 30 years. You cannot be bored.
You know what? That's a great point because, I mean, how many of us tend to gravitate towards maybe 10 different meals over and over again? Yeah. We can do that for a year.
That's right.
But we're missing, if we pick out maybe some, I don't know, cheese or chocolate, within a week, we're bored. But you're right, it's an excuse that we often use because our comfort foods aren't there temporarily.
Mm-hmm. And we have to think outside the box. We have to become creative.
Mm-hmm.
We have to jump out of the routine, you know, and that takes energy. And when we're living this, you know, like automatons running through life, we need the routine because anything outside of that requires energy. And sometimes we don't feel like we have the energy to ante up. And it goes back to the fact that you're stuck, you know.
Right.
Why don't you have that energy? A sign that you're in transition, that you may require a transition.
And we can take it to different places other than food, to our job, for example, or a relationship that we're bored. But it might be sometimes we have to get a little creative and look outside our box and change things up a little bit to grow.
Absolutely. And not just constantly ask your partner to grow and hold them responsible, but to also notice and recognize that there has to probably be growth on both sides.
So I guess with both of us, we've probably seen some symptoms or physical signs that patients or individuals are going through transitions and whether they're experiencing boredom or frustration. But things such as insomnia or anxiety, and I'm sure you often see pain, inflammation, headaches, and we might be in denial that we're going through change or that we're being gently nudged into a change and we're resisting it. So it's displaying in symptoms.
Absolutely. Again, this goes back to the whole concept of the body. The physical body doesn't lie. You know, the patient will sit and tell you whatever they think you want to hear. Because, again, it's almost like a confession. You know, if I'm going to hear myself speak these words, then I'm responsible to change that. But the body doesn't lie. And so when you begin, people may not be comfortable speaking about their emotional situations. So when you start to ask about their physical body, do you have pain? Do you have indigestion? Do you feel like you have anxiety? They can talk about those things because it's physical. And, you know, we've made it okay to speak about our physical selves. But it's a little bit hidden when we start to delve into the more emotional side of ourselves. So oftentimes a gateway or a segue into that conversation about your emotional health, we need that physical corridor.
That's excellent. And that's why I guess writing and speaking can be so healing, is because what we say, it becomes real then.
Absolutely. And then you're accountable and you're responsible. Once it's outside of you, there's an awareness. And awareness is so important because it gives birth to accountability. Now you're aware of it. What are you going to do with it?
That's excellent.
And that's an expansive behavior. That is an extending behavior, a spherical behavior. It doesn't allow you to retreat into your comfort zone. It's not a retracting energy. It's an expansive energy.
And I guess sometimes before we become aware, like you said, we might run through different things, different ways to avoid, such as withdrawing to be alone, or even withdrawing from people that are close to us and moving towards people that don't know us so well, so that we don't have to show up as our real selves. Like maybe we start going out more and being with people that aren't going to expect too much of us or hold us accountable, like you said, and maybe through that we can avoid things like our responsibilities, things that we know we want to accomplish and take care of, but right now we want to avoid them.
Mm-hmm. And we create distractions. That's the other thing. You know, we fill our lives up with things and stuff that we need to do so that we are not, again, sitting in that seat of awareness and being accountable to change them. So absolutely, you know, not showing up and accepting responsibility for your life, you know, that's a huge one. And I think you and I discussed earlier, in an earlier conversation, how important that is to understand that process of knowing your soul, knowing your intention.
Definitely, because with that, we've got responsibility. We've got gifts, but we've also got responsibilities that go along with those gifts.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And, you know, and it comes from this inability to trust our inner selves. Mm-hmm. You know, that's an important factor, I think, that plays over and over and over again. Because the ability to be able to work and grow with the transition really comes with a knowing of how to trust ourselves, that we are going to be able to guide our own ship.
So that brings up a question that perhaps the viewers could ask themselves, are you constantly asking yourself or questioning yourself, am I living the right life? Am I in the right job? Am I in the right relationship? Did I just make the right decision? So we're second-guessing ourselves. And what do you think that might mean for our viewers?
Oftentimes, I think, when we sit and we start to question numerous things about the way we're living, it's because obviously we're not in the right place. It's nudging us. There's that subconscious entity that's constantly trying to push us forward. And if you're questioning that many things in your life, I think it's time to start looking at the different facets of your life. It is your soul's intent to only know love. I say this to patients all the time, and when you're not on board with that, it will continue to go. It will seek it, and that's when the questions come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I in this? Is this relationship right for me? Is this job right for me? Am I needing to grow? Do I know who I am? Am I happy? Like some of the questions that we talked about tonight. You know, those, if you're constantly questioning yourself, that is a key factor in knowing that you're in a growth stage.
The last book I've listened to, my last audiobook from Marianne Williamson, really stood out for me when she said that when somebody or when we are saying, I'm so confused, I don't know the right decision, it's in fact that we exactly know the right decision, but we don't want to make the move.
Exactly, because we fall back into the situation of complacency, you know.
Mm.
And you're so right. That's so well put, because oftentimes we do know the answers. We just don't want to do the work and make the investment of the time and the energy to get there. It takes a lot. Depending, again, on the nature of the transition, some transitions are life-transforming, you know, and, again, multifaceted because you're bringing in other people, families, work situations, whatever the case may be. Some of them are heavily weighted. They carry a lot of weight. And so the amount of energy that it takes away from you when you start to think about all the players involved, you know, that's often something that pulls us back into that seat of safety. And so we don't have to make the decision. But we know the answer The answer is always right in front of us. It's about doing the work.
That's right. And taking the risk, moving forward, and getting out of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should move into now some things that we can use to help us live a more love-centered life, which would help us ease through transitions a little easier and probably even go through a transition with a little smile on our face and maybe not lose so much energy or not become so frustrated. Maybe we should look at recognizing our strengths and our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. As we move through our transition, we've got to draw on certain strengths, and knowing those and being aware of them and having them right by our side and right at the tip of our tongue or right there, knowing, okay, this is what I'm going to draw on. I'm good at this. This is my strong point, or where our weaknesses are. Where are we going to be vulnerable during transitions?
Mm-hmm. And vulnerability is really important. That's a great word, because vulnerability is uncomfortable.
Mm.
You know, and when someone else knows their vulnerability, you feel exposed. You know, it's definitely it's a weakness. We view that as a weakness. And I always say that's your growth point. That's your PowerPoint. You know this about yourself. What do you do in the face of that?
Mm.
You know, so it's a teaching moment for yourself. Why do you feel vulnerable in that space? Is the vulnerability about you, or is it about something external to you? Oftentimes, it's about our own trusting, again, in our inner self.
Mm. It does always come back to that, isn't it, about knowing and trusting yourself.
It does, for sure. And, you know, being able to sit in self-reflection, I think that's kind of what we're talking about here when you are identifying your strengths and your weaknesses, your fears, and your vulnerabilities. It's about, you know, sitting in self-reflection and allowing yourself the time to do that. Reflecting on your inner self takes time. And in a world where time is so precious and you seem to never have enough of it, we never make the time to sit and get to know ourselves.
Which would save us a lot of time, wouldn't it?
It would.
We wouldn't spend so much time worrying or filling up our time with distractions and things like that to avoid making decisions if we just created a little more sacred space in our lives.
That's right. That's right, absolutely. And I think you had mentioned to me in the previous conversation, you know, that it is your responsibility to know your soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's not somebody else's. It's your responsibility to know your inner workings, to show up in your life.
And I think when we put that work in to get to know ourselves, our weaknesses, our strengths, and everything we just talked about, if we went through those questions every couple months and got to know ourselves better and how we function better, what our weaknesses, our strengths are, where our support systems are, whether they're through our hobbies, our exercise, our journaling, or through a certain group of friends or family, how do we not become more patient, happier, kinder versions of ourselves?
Absolutely. I think when we do the work, we live a much happier life because it's more centered. It's more balanced.
Mm.
We're nurturing that relationship, you know, with ourselves. It's the longest standing relationship a human being will ever have, is the one that they harbor with themselves. So when you contribute to that in kind ways and loving ways, you know, you are adding to yourself. You're giving to yourself. You're acting in kindness.
Excellent. I have one question, actually, that I'd love for you to answer for our listeners, Coralie. It's from an email that came in. We had quite a few emails, but we're just going to be able to probably go through one tonight, and it's from David in Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to know what ways he could support a friend, a good friend in his life, that he's going through a major life change. And what could he do as not the person going through the change, but somebody trying to assist that person?
That's an excellent question, because really it's how are you going to show up as a friend? And I think there's really probably two or three things that I think are key. One is to master the art of listening. Because most times people will work through their own transitions. They just need to know that they have the love and support of a friend and a listening ear. So they are going to walk the path regardless of whether or not you are there. So mastering the art of just listening and being open and sitting in the seat of non-judgment, because it's not his situation, it's his friend's situation. And oftentimes, again, judgment is a retracting energy. It carries a retracting energy. So, you know, people are much more honest. They're much more open. They are much more capable of working out their own situation when someone is listening in non-judgment. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I would throw out there for David would be repeat back what that person is essentially saying to you. Because sometimes when they hear their own words back, it actually changes their perception of their situation. Because they're only hearing it from their own state, but when they hear it from outside of themselves, it sounds different. It may sound different. A light bulb may go off. So it's really not about giving advice as much as it is about non-judgment, being open, listening, and repetition, like repeating back what, in fact, that person is saying. Because I really do feel that we are all capable of working through our own states of transition. And the more that you show up and do the work on your own, the more valuable that change and that transformation will be to you. And again, it's about doing your own work. Having the assistance and the love and the support of friends and family is so key in a transitional process. But what's more important is, how are you going to show up? What amount of work are you prepared to do?
Well, you've obviously gone through change, and you've obviously been there for somebody, because you've summed it up really nicely. Basically, listen, have patience, don't try to make the decisions for them, and don't judge.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Those are the four really key points that obviously you've been there. You've been down that road.
Well, I think we've all been there. If you have someone in your life, you know, we've all acted as a friend, and we've sat in that beautiful seat of friendship and support. And knowing that you are there for that person, that's a very loving place to be. You know, mm-hmm. to know that someone trusts you that much to hold their vulnerabilities is a beautiful and magical place to be as a human being. So honor that. Honor that space that they've put you in with non-judgment.
Gratitude, a great thing to be grateful for.
Absolutely. It's all about gratitude.
Well, Coralie, on that topic, would you come back sometime and do a show on gratitude?
I would love to do that. If you were willing to have me back, I would be more than happy to come back.
Love to. We had such a good response from the show we did in the wintertime with you. That's why I asked you to be a guest on this show. We had lots of listeners that really enjoyed it. And I think that we've covered everything, and I'd love if you come back. So I'd like to just say have a good evening to everybody. Thanks for listening to Watch Your Prescription for Balance with Dr. Glenna Calder, naturopathic doctor, and our very special guest, Coralie Murphy. If you're looking for updates on our show, go to our Facebook page, Watch Your Prescription for Balance. We'll always let you know what topic's coming up. And for the first Thursday of every month, 7:30 Atlantic Standard Time. Coralie, I hope you have a great night, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Glenna, for having me. I think it was an amazing topic for tonight, particularly where we are in our seasonal change. And I just, again, want to thank you for everything that you do and putting out this kind of love and support to the world at large. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Coralie, and have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.